Yes, yes, good. I am.
Nice one. Nice.
Had a very hard day using Power Automate. So it's just totally...
Is that like that Sibian you were talking about?
Yeah, the Sibian, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Our Lot in Block 5. Hello, welcome to Our Lot in Block 5, the podcast for gooners by gooners. And we're here talking about Sibians. I showed there was a picture online called John's Shop. So I sent John a picture of John's shop and said, what would your shop sell, John? And what did you put? Marmite, sausages.
Fish fingers. No, Marmite, fish fingers, bacon, and for the ladies, Sibians.
If you don't know what a Sibian is, please don't Google that, because you will find yourself in a very grey area, so to speak. But welcome to the football Arsenal podcast. Oh my God, where do we even start? 4:45 or 4:49 or whatever on Saturday, Stuart. Tell me about it.
It was mental, Matt. Absolutely. And I was going to say before we came on air, but
yeah.
So I'm on the train going up with a mate of mine that I'd arranged to go to for a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I went and stayed at his place in Wadhurst. We've got on the train, and he said to me on the Friday night, he said, my lad is so desperate to go.
Yeah.
But he wants to sit with you. He wants to. And I went, oh, he's a man. He's right. He just wants to. He just wants to have a sing and a shout, and he's quite a quiet lad in general. And on this, so as we get off at, I think, where do we go? Charing Cross. Got a call from one of the other Block Fivers to say they weren't going and their ticket was spare. So I said, well, I'm not paying anything for it, but just email me the ticket. So within that, by the time we got to Leicester Square,
yeah,
we'd rung him and said, get on the train. You've got a ticket for Arsenal. So I went and sat with him, and I am going to call this because he would back this up. Not that he would come on a podcast, but I said to him when they brought Reece Nelson on, I did say he's going to score. Not maybe the winner, but I said he'd score. And Oh my God. Forget your Barcelona, Andre Arshavin.
Yeah.
That was the greatest goal. The greatest moment that there's ever been inside the Emirates Stadium. Even the, I was trying to think. So you got like the Danny Welbeck against Leicester.
I'm not convinced about the greatest goal ever inside the stadium.
No.
But I'll go for what it meant. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, the Arshavin goal, you could say, was a better finish. You could, maybe not the Welbeck header, but the timings and what they meant, you know. I think if you had to pick, if Matt said, name the five highlights of the Emirates Stadium, Dennis Bergkamp, obviously, the fact it opened.
Thierry Henry against Leeds.
Thierry Henry scoring against Leeds.
Yeah.
Us beating Barcelona. Definitely the Danny Welbeck header against Leicester. And maybe the Thierry Henry header against Man United to win it 3-2.
Yeah.
But trust me, that all faded into one mad. It was crackers up there.
I mean, it was crackers on the pitch as well, wasn't it? Like, people just dropped to the floor. Who? Odegaard was the one who took the corner. He just literally fell to the floor, and other people were lying on the ground at that point.
The trouble was, Matt, I've not seen that because we were so going mad where you were sat.
You didn't have any idea what was going on.
You had no idea what was going on. I wasn't even sure that it was Reece Nelson that had scored until the Tannoy man.
It was weird because they followed Saliba on the TV coverage. They're following him, but everybody is just running in different directions, going mad, basically. There was no... there was no kind of running towards the goal scorer at first. Everyone just ran around.
And I will be honest, I was at the turnstile when they scored.
You weren't even in the ground.
No, I was literally buzzing my ticket in to go up to the seat. And it's come up on my Sky thing. And because you're not going to hear that, being the opposite end of the ground, to know. And I was like, no, that can't be right. And we're walking up the stairs, and I'm like, well, it is right. And then you get up to your seat, and you're like,
They still had those massive flags, and they're flying them in front of the pitch as it started. And
I'll ask you a question. Yeah. So my song gets played first. Don't Google this. Who scored the quickest goal in the Premier League?
Do you know what? Someone said that there was one in 7.5 seconds.
7.69 seconds.
Right.
I did look
quickly, but I couldn't find the right information. Is this just the Premier League?
Yeah.
In the Premier League era? Because I saw that Dwight York had scored the fastest header, and it was about 12 seconds, but that's all I saw. I can't think of...
John's Googling.
John is air frying.
John's on mute. I've no idea actually. So I'm not Googling.
It's
there
not
you go.
Di Matteo, is it? No, that was the FA Cup.
I thought I couldn't remember whether it was Sol Campbell or Ledley King.
Okay.
And I thought that was the answer, but that I think that's about third or fourth in the list. But the fastest goal was Shane Long, I think, for Southampton. Yeah, 7.69 seconds or something.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, it pretty much was... It was just madness. I think
Hold on a minute, Matt. Yeah. It's almost a bit like, we got the record for scoring the fastest goal. Yeah, but you lost, though.
Yeah,
it's almost like United. All the Liverpool fans at the moment, we won 7-0. Yeah, but unless you make top four, that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I don't know whether if there's any like from the first goal in a game scored to the last goal in a game scored. Has there ever been a bigger difference in time than that? Because it was like 98 minutes and 50 seconds or something, our goal. Like, the gap between the first goal scored and the last goal scored, I don't know.
I'm not sure if that is the latest goal that's ever been scored in the Premier League.
Oh, I'm surely Man United have scored later goals than that.
Well, yeah, probably.
Goal Fergie time. Actually, it's turning into Arteta time now, though, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But after Villa and this and Man United, where we scored in, 88th minute or something to win 3-2?
I've always said to myself, not others, but in my head, once those goalkeepers start wasting time with the ball, it's going to bite you in the arse. And that Bournemouth keeper... he should have been sent off. He got booked, I think, eventually, but he carried on doing it. And the ironic bit about it was one of their players just before the corner that went down feigning an injury. So the referee's obviously looked at it and he's gone, well, because there's loads of supporters of other football clubs moaning about the fact that we had that amount of time.
Yeah, of course they did.
But you're allowed to add time if people are down injured. Yeah. Just because they put up 6 minutes, if someone goes down laying on the floor for 45 seconds, 50 seconds, this is what we've always asked for. I mean, the World Cup, they added the time. I think the England game, was it? Who did we play?
Like 10 minutes of it.
Good. Do you remember when Arsene Wenger did his bollocks once because there was an equaliser or winner against us about 2 minutes after, say, the allotted 6-5 minutes, whatever?
Yeah.
And then he was chastised. Look, you know what, Arsene? You're always fucking moaning. It's the minimum amount. And if there's stoppage time, it gets added on. But now they're trying to turn it round on us.
Yeah, and of course,
they don't want us to win it. They don't want us to win it.
And of course,
well, you know that. Despite what the ref, I'll tell you what about you. Since Lee Mason resigned, I know Matt mentioned about the penalties, right, in the WhatsApp group. To be honest, when it's on the shoulder, it's never going to be a penalty.
Yeah.
But it's almost like since Lee Mason resigned because of the decisions he made against us and Brighton, it's almost like Arsenal getting nothing from any official ever until the end of the season. They've made their decision. We're getting fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like that because we, what was there? There was one in the first half, handball in the first half, like leaping, and you could probably say maybe shoulder. In the second half, there was the one where he puts his arm up and pushes it towards the ball, as far as I can see. And then there's one on the line where he's put both his arms up because he's challenging for the ball that hits his hand. So there was three good shouts for handball in the penalty area, all not even reviewed, or no one was running over to look at the screen. It was all just turned down.
Well, like we've said it, John obviously has said it a long time before we all cottoned on, but yeah, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. They don't want us to win it, and we've got to deal with it. So that might be our 2-point deduction. They're even looking into our celebration, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
to try and take points away or something away.
Well, they're trying to suggest that, yeah. And, of course, every supporter jumps on the, you're celebrating like you've won the league, you haven't won anything yet. And you just think, well, it's like it is literally one rule for us and another for any other
club. But if you can't go to a game of football, Matt, if you can't, I mean, you said to me off air how mad it was in your house when that goal went in, right? So that's you, you're watching it at home.
Yeah.
So when you've gone and you know you've sung and you, I'm not saying you didn't sing indoors, mate, or anything like that.
I was singing.
But when you're in there and you're in that moment,
oh my God,
the emotion that pours out of you, and that's surely, and I don't give a fuck whether you're Arsenal, Tottenham, Man United, Chelsea, Wickham Wanderers, Gillingham. That's the emotion of football. That's why you go to football. That is exactly why you go to watch football.
You're telling me Scousers weren't going mental on Sunday?
Yeah. Of course they were. I mean, you see what Mo Salah was like.
Well, I think they'd sewn that up, John, by about 20 minutes to go. But, that is exactly why you go. Yeah, tell Jamie Carragher that you've seen the video footage of him and Gary Neville sitting in the gantry doing their sort of, was Jamie Carragher over celebrating? I mean, that is just exactly why any football fan loves football. And if you take that away from a football fan, then you won't bother going. You won't, because you're not going to talk about the times when you've walked out that ground so pissed off. Do you know what I mean? No one goes on about that. Oh, I feel sorry. That's football. That is exactly why football should be celebrated, and it has the following. And that's what makes the Premier League the Premier League and makes it better than the other leagues across the world, because it is that
on like social media and that the viral thing on TikTok was Ian Wright going mental. And then you had people on it going, he's only a Millwall fan, he's jumping on the bandwagon of a team he won a trophy with. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, it's funny, you've got to laugh at that stuff.
Even Merson, who's actually an out and out Chelsea fan, was celebrating the goal.
Oh, he went mental, didn't he? I went up and had a cup of coffee with my mum and dad on Sunday morning. And my mum was still sorting herself out. And she said, I've just got to sort this out. And I sat there with my dad and he went, well, that was all right, wasn't it? And I went, oh, Dad, I said, it was just crazy. I said, absolutely crazy. He said, he hasn't got it. He wouldn't stream a game or anything like that. He just said, I had Soccer Saturday on, and he said Paul Merson was going absolutely crazy. And I don't think Paul Merson, I know, like you say, he's a Chelsea fan. I think it was just because it was a mad moment of football in the Premier League. If that had been Manchester City or Southampton, yeah. Southampton away at Nottingham Forest or you know, it was just a moment of Premier League history. I don't think that'll ever be forgotten, that goal.
It's on his swinger as well. Like, he really did put his foot through that. It's weird how, like, those chances started coming. Actually, he did really well when he came on, Reece Nelson. He got the ball into Martinelli to get the equaliser, didn't he? And was he seemed to create some space for Zinchenko, who got that shot in at the end, and you're thinking, oh, God, this really is... The game's done now. But I could see there's a shot of Arteta and he's going to the fourth official. Is it 2 minutes or is it 3 minutes on the clock at one point? And he's like, he's basically buying us another minute to the fourth official.
If that had ended in 2-2, you wouldn't have been that bothered.
No, you're thinking...
Would have gone,
no, well, not two, from 2-0 two down, mate. Not from 2-0 down.
We've had worse.
20-odd minutes, 28 minutes, 29 minutes to go.
Yeah,
I was quite happy when Ben White's won.
Oh, what a finish that is.
That was a great finish.
What a finish.
Centre-back defender. Quality.
You think of like that Van Basten volley in the Euro 88, where he like...
It wasn't quite like that.
It wasn't quite with that sort of technique.
No, it was a...
If it had gone straight in, it would have looked like a much better goal, if you know what I mean. If someone hadn't cleared it off the line or tried to clear it out the goal.
Goalkeeper.
Yeah. Yeah, so if he hadn't have pushed it out of the goal, it would have looked a lot better than it...
But I, because it's directly below me.
Yeah.
When you're looking from, you've got not the crossbar, but you're sort of looking. You can't judge whether the goalkeeper has pushed it away.
Yeah. Or whether,
You know what I mean? Because you're looking down on the goal. But straight away, the ref gave it.
They've got the old watch, the vibrating watch, haven't we? Back to the old Sibian talk. I would say categorically, if they didn't have that goal line technology, that goal wouldn't have stood.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it really wouldn't have. They wouldn't have given it. But there we go. It almost puts the Everton game into, you know, you almost forget that we won 4-0 against Everton as well,
which was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was again. You know, after losing there,
you know, Saka's goal, lovely, blasting it. They did a little montage of all the goals he scored at the near post, like blasting it high into the near post. So we know he's capable of that. Martinelli, like Saka picking his pocket and then Martinelli finishing. And then I guess, you know, it's just we're filling our boots at that point. In the second half.
Well, to be fair, it summed it up because Everton didn't come out and play. They just stuck bodies behind the ball. They made it frustrating, exactly like they did when we played them away. And, yeah, Saka's goal changed the whole setup of how the night was going to play out, I think. Because once that went in, I did look at it and I thought,
We needed that first goal.
It's the other end of the ground, but I thought he's offside. Yeah. And when they've obviously done that, and especially thinking, well, it's VAR, so there's no way we're getting that. But to go in at half-time 2-0 up.
Yeah, it was...
You just think, well, they've got to come out and play now because at 1-0, they might just
go back and try and hope to get
well, Dyche will say to them at half-time, look, don't do anything stupid now. Let's frustrate them for another 20, 25 minutes and then we'll go on the offensive with some long balls and
Yeah.
Push bodies up. We'll bring subs on. We'll just be annoying. But at 2-0 at half time, that's his team talk out the window. And it could have been more. It should have been
my
more.
My favourite part of the whole game, and in social media, they gave all credit to Iwobi. But my favourite part of the whole game was Odegaard mugging Iwobi off. But on social media, it's all like, oh, Iwobi is such an amazing professional because he could have broke his leg and chose not to. No, Odegaard mugged him off massively.
Yeah, he sort of did it like
no
a...
no idea what was going on.
But they should call that the Odegaard because it's like basically a sort of Cruyff turn on your back on the floor. Like, how to evade a career-ending tackle.
Yeah, but you have to look at it and think, look, you know what? This is a Iwobi you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not like Roy King. You know, no. This is a Iwobi, so...
I mean, you know, I thought Iwobi, since Sean Dyche has come in, Iwobi's looked quite good, but...
He does, actually, to be honest. But, still missing goals left, right and centre.
Yeah, he's still not taking chances.
Fair, even when Lampard was there,
yeah,
Iwobi was probably their best player, and you're like, this is the one we call the waste of oxygen in our podcast.
This is, quite 42 million or whatever it was we got for him. Thank you very much. See you later. Wasn't it? But, I still have to concur that after watching the Forest game on Sunday as well, he had chances and moments.
I do not believe anybody paid 42 million for Iwobi.
No.
Well, someone Google how much he got sold for.
I thought it was that.
It was over 30.
Surely it's like 10 quid and half a pound of fucking cough candy.
That's the old cough candy quote from John there. Iwobi.
I thought it was 32 million or something like that.
To Everton. Initial fee of 28 million rising to 34. With potential add-ons.
Fucking hell. I tell you what, that's got to be the best deal in history.
we were quite happy with it, I have to say. I mean, he was a young boy still, wasn't he?
Real Madrid was taking the piss because he was injured for about 2 years when they signed him.
Yeah.
You know, fuck hell. Seriously.
I mean, if you think about, say, you were sort of buying the next Serge Gnabry, potentially. So, you know, for Everton, they were probably thinking, there's money burning a hole in our pocket and we can't buy Wilfried Zaha, so we're going
to
buy...
Serge went to Bayern Munich. Yeah, but Serge went to Bayern Munich, won the Champions League, but he cut the league.
You know, he went back to... He went to somewhere, didn't he? I think we got a little bit fiddled because then Bayern Munich pretty much bought him.
Did he go Dortmund first?
Or Bremen.
Bremen, yeah, something like that. I know he'd been on loan somewhere. Then he came back and then I think
we
sold him to Bremen and then Bremen basically had an agreement
sold him straight on.
Yeah. Well, at the end of that season and then he's gone on to do what he did.
Win a World Cup and an Olympic gold medal and whatnot.
Nothing
too much. Talking of...
there was still a lot of talk pre-season that we was going to get him back, but what is he now, about 50?
I did enjoy the 50.
Probably not. 26, 27, 28.
He's well into his 50s. He's the Stanley Matthews of German football. I was just there's one post on social media that I really loved, which was Christian Eriksen has gone to two separate clubs since leaving Tottenham, died, come back, and he's still won
still won more trophies than ever came.
That is good. That was funny.
I like that.
I posted it on our WhatsApp group.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Died. That's
yeah, he died. Died. He still won more trophies. So Everton great. I think, as you said, it was frustrating in the first half. It looked like it could be one of those games again where they're frustrating, but we seem to be creating chances throughout that first half, and then Saka, great finish. and then picks the pocket.
Great ball from Zinchenko.
Well, let's talk about Zinchenko, because he had something like 102 actions in that in the Bournemouth game, or some. There was some weird stat that said he had like been had 104 involvements. They do all these weird stats now, but he was all over the shop, wasn't he?
Well,
was the Everton game where they brought on Kieran Tierney and he had to play the Zinchenko way and be in the centre of midfield when we've got the ball? Was it Bournemouth? No, it would have been against Everton because we sort of rang the changes and then Kieran Tierney's in the middle of the park.
But wasn't the stat that...
Wasn't that's Tierney the most... at Bournemouth, the Bowie, when he brought on and then taken off again?
No, that was Emil Smith-Rowe. Emil Smith-Rowe had to come on quite early against Bournemouth.
He came on for Trossard.
Yeah, and is Trossard all right? I've got no idea. Well,
I don't know, Matt. I'm worried about...
It's almost like saying Smith-Rowe is this year's Aboué.
Well, no, he didn't. I mean, I think he was involved in the first goal, wasn't he, Smith-Rowe? He heads it down to Partey. I think he just ran out of puff, and we're looking for a winner. And the Reece Nelson swap was inspired, really, wasn't it? Reece Nelson has done well when he's come on in games, hasn't he?
Well, there's rumours now we're going to sign him up on a new contract because he's runs out in the summer,
really. And like, we kept him, like, we didn't loan him out, we didn't. So there must have been some thought that...
I think this is going back to, you know, we've spoken about players he's put an arm around, like Xhaka and different ones that you think, well, that's them gone. Sometimes Arteta sees stuff and obviously you do because you're training with him every day. But I think fucking hell, he dug him out of a massive hole on Saturday. But why not? Why not? You know, you could probably reduce his money, but where would he rather play? And if he can come on and do what he did on Saturday, you know, we need players. He's an Arsenal boy. Why let an Arsenal boy go if he can?
As I said, he's one of the Highland boys.
Yeah. If he can contribute to that squad, why would you need to... This is the idea of getting these players in.
Did he come on? Did he come on against Liverpool? I'm trying to think of the game.
Nottingham Forest. He came on and scored twice.
Twice, yeah. And you have to say, looked great. And, you know, in the Europa League...
Trouble with him is he gets so... He's an injury-prone player.
Mm.
But... It is just what it is. It's whether the club see fit. But I wouldn't be adverse to it. I wouldn't be adverse to him staying at the club and signing a new contract.
23, 24?
He's older than that.
Is he?
Well, I don't know. I would imagine he's a little bit older than that. He's sort of been in the wilderness for a couple of years, hasn't he?
He is 23.
Really?
24 in December.
Well, fuck me. You keep him, don't you?
Yeah, there's no reason. I mean, like, as I said, we sent a few players out on loan in January and he wasn't one of them. So, you know, I think he's made quite a lot of appearances at under 21 level as well. He went to Hoffenheim and to Feyenoord recently on loan and he's come back this season a bit of a bigger boy.
Have you seen the video? Oh no, it was you that shared it, wasn't it?
Of the guy in Belgium
at Reims.
Yeah,
no, France. Yeah,
is it France or Belgium?
No, Reims. It's France. Reims? That's where Balogun's playing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
I mean, that was me that shared that. Was it you that shared it, Matt?
It was.
Oh, I think we both. It's from the Fancy Football League. Je trouve le
bulletin. We've got fucking 3 points from Sunday.
Yeah, it's great that. Will Still, his name is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Will still. He's got no coaching badge. What did he say? It's like, he's just
kind of
shows.
Obviously can coach. That's yeah.
Or something like, Frank, like, just shows you how worthless Frank Lampard doing them was.
Yeah.
I know, he so says, Frank Lampard had all the coaching basically, the guy said it shows trouble. You how worthless the coaching badges are. It shows you how worthless the coaching badges are.
Yeah.
Because of Frank Lampard.
Yeah. But don't you think, like, not being funny, everyone can get, you know, accolades for this and be good at this or pass the exams.
Yeah.
But it's not about the exams, isn't it? It's about the passion. It's whether...
Well, Fergie and Wenger never had any coaching badges, did they? It's...
I don't know whether they had to.
It comes down to talent, doesn't it? I guess a lot of it is around, you know, your... the way you treat people and the kind of the standards that they expect of leadership in the club.
Yeah, but it's about your passion, and it's also about, you can't just go into it with passion, but if you know about a game of football, it shouldn't really matter whether you can manage it because
it's all about emotion. It's emotional. It's about emotional intelligence. Yeah. A lot of it.
Some of the greatest managers in the world never had all these bullshit coaching badges.
No, of course not. No.
You know, Jock Stein, fucking Bill Shankly.
Yeah, exactly.
All the Liverpool managers of the fucking 70s. George Graham. You know, it's bullshit. It's just this new...
I mean, in the same way that Stewart's Garage, nobody's registered with any... I'm joking. Then no one's done any training or got any qualifications.
I've no idea what you're talking about, Matt.
I'm just joking.
I know you are. But at the same time, that still doesn't take away what you do generally anyway. It's all about you as a person.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you can sit in front of a classroom or, you know, an exam and pass it, but actually putting it into practice, you can't do it.
It's old, the old Brian Clough quote, isn't it? Of football's, you know, people say that, you know, you're good on paper. Well, football's not played on paper, is it? It's played on grass.
Yeah, and I've seen lads come through, you know, when I was working years ago at a dealer, and, you know, lads go and do these apprenticeships and they're obviously working with you, and they come back. Some of them have got some fantastic results, BTEC in motor mechanics, and, you know, it puts them on a real high level.
Mm.
And they're fucking useless. Yeah. I'm not being funny. They're fucking useless. Because not only do you need to be able to put it down on paper, you've got to be able to do it with your head and what's in front of you. And common sense plays a massive part in what I do.
And graft.
Yeah, yeah. Right, you've got to be able to graft that. They could all graft. But sometimes common sense, I'm like, why are you doing that? I'm trying to do that. Well, why the fuck are you doing that then? And then they go, oh, yeah, I don't need to do that, do I?
You don't need four wheels. It's a Reliant Robin.
Yeah, but I've just ordered four tyres. I've seen lots of very clever kids that pass exams, you know, as an apprentice, but actually putting it into practice and doing it, the common sense part isn't there.
Well, I mean, so you would have thought that, better than others. You definitely think that will still, it's just the paper, he just needs to fill in his paperwork. They're getting fined €25,000 a week or something, or for every game. But I don't give a shit.
Prime example of this was today, right, with the thing that I was doing. My boss, or my senior boss, is an expert in this coding business, and it just wouldn't work. And I said, why don't you try -5 rather than -6? He went, oh, no. I said, look, I'm going to try it and see if it works. And it worked. And he waited ages and then went, oh, I've come up with this other coding that shows why it doesn't work. I went, but it did work. By putting minus five in. And he went, yeah, but I've written this other code. I went, fine, you have, but I just said it worked because it had minus five, not minus six. You had to be there to see what the whole thing was about.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, and obviously,
simple, John, something simple.
We all think that John is a mild-mannered civil servant, but he probably is working for MI5. Minus MI5. Just put minus MI5.
John's
007, 00-5. Reuben.
Matt. Yeah. John's shop is where you go in and get tailored.
Yeah.
You go in, do you want liver or bacon? Marmite. And you go through and you get kitted out.
Yeah. You got your bowler hat where it's got a rim, like, odd job.
Everyone loves a rim.
And your Sibian for torturing.
Whatever you do, victims. don't press that pen.
Yeah. So, well, I think, what else? Who else can we talk about? It's weird how we didn't play Xhaka. Did we play Xhaka in, didn't play him in both games?
We haven't talked about our 4-0 prediction.
Oh yeah, of course the John score. The Ruben.
I was going to say this. I was going to ask this. Did anyone get anything right?
I don't think so.
I did. 4-0.
Well done.
Did you say 4-0 for? I thought you said 1-0 for.
No, 4-0 for Everton. 4-0.
I said 3-1 for Everton. I think Stuart said 2-0.
Yeah.
And then for the Bournemouth one, I think we all probably said it would be more comfortable. Like
3-0. The reason why I know it was 4-0, because you turned around on WhatsApp and went, oh, John's prediction come right.
Well, I mean, I'd just say that's the normal John prediction, isn't it?
Yeah, 4-0. So.
But it's officially called the Ruben score.
Although I might have said 1-0, I don't really know, to
John,
be honest.
It's not your prediction, it's just what you say.
Yeah, it's just what I always say, 4-0.
What do you think of this weekend against Sporting Lisbon and Fulham?
Well, but here we go. 4-0. So I think, 4-0. Well, we'll get onto that later.
When have we got Sporting Lisbon? Thursday.
Can I just have a mention?
Yeah, go on.
Can I just have a mention for the unsung hero of the weekend, and Aaron Ramsdale?
Yeah, what a save.
Because what I'm sitting there and I'm like, we're fucked here. There's two of them. He's unbelievable, mate. He's unbelievable. You know, you go back to the Villa game, the saves he made there. The boy's
My mum keeps calling him Caleb. He's Arsenal's Caleb from Clarkson's Farm. And now I can't unsee that.
No,
to my mum, and no, we all of you listeners now, everyone will think he looks like Caleb.
But what a save! What a save! And you know, we're all going on about Reece Nelson and all the different things, but he was not when he had no chance with the first run. He didn't have any chance with their second one, but my God. When he's called upon, that boy is always ready. He's always ready. And, yeah, you're gonna score against him. But I said to my mate's lad who was sat next to me, I just went, that's just kept us in this game of football, mate. It's kept us in this game of football. And without that, if you're 2-0 down at half-time, in theory, had it planned out as it was, that was 3-0 when they scored their other one. So you've got to give him so much credit, so much credit.
I mean, it felt like we had kind of made some changes on Saturday, almost in the same way that we had, the sort of opposite of what we thought would happen for Sporting Lisbon. So we put Fabio Vieira in. And
yeah, well, don't think he had a bad game.
No, but I guess probably, I'm trying to think. He did stay on, didn't he, for quite a while?
Yeah.
And but Xhaka, you know, Xhaka didn't play, and I think when Xhaka came on, it again we looked a little bit more comfortable in that midfield with him and Partey there, than having sort of Jorginho and Fabio Vieira. Although,
yeah, but he didn't play Jorginho.
No, he didn't play Jorginho. Is he all right, Jorginho, or is he injured as well?
Then? Yeah, he was celebrating on the touchline. Oh, right. That's what I didn't understand why he played no part. So he's obviously the main part for Thursday.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you feel like that game needs 10, 15 minutes or something, like I say, I mean, you've got to play all this squad. You have to. And if you don't trust them, then they shouldn't be in the squad.
No, of course not. And I guess they're probably thinking about the Sporting Lisbon game. I don't know how important that is to the club to get through that, compared to making sure we win these games.
Well, I want to
see. But I suppose it's all got to be a risk, isn't it? It's all good. You've got to take a few risks and ring the changes.
And I want to see us beat Fulham on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. This is it.
I'm not bothered about the Portugal Fulham game.
Doing all right. That Solando, is it? Or what's his name? He's a decent player.
Well, they lost last night, didn't they?
They lost 3-2 to Brentford.
It's Solomon. Solomon's the one who keeps coming and scoring.
Yeah, he's a worry. I don't know. Is William reborn there? I don't know. But they are a threat, much more of a threat than possibly and you've got people Leno, give them credit.
Leno in goal. In goal. You've also got, what's his name?
Callum Chambers, Willian.
No. Yeah. Chambers is at Villa.
Oh, sorry.
But is he on loan? Is he on loan? Cedric. Is he on loan or is he... I don't know whether we loaned him or sold him in January, because if we loaned him, he can't play. If we sold him, he can play.
Let's have a look. Cedric to... I think we loaned him.
I think we loaned him, but I'm thinking you got three ex-gooners ready to stick a knife in on Sunday.
Yeah, he's on loan. He's on loan.
Oh, so he can't play.
No, can't play.
You just, like I say, for me, I'm not particularly bothered about Thursday night. I don't want to see Arsenal lose. I never want to see Arsenal lose. But I'm not particularly bothered. If you're not
Sporting Lisbon any good, I don't know.
Yeah, they beat Tottenham. Well, that doesn't mean they're any good, does it? They beat Tottenham. Fucking Wolves beat them, didn't they?
Let's have a quick look, Sporting. We should be talking about this really now. We should.
Well, they came out of the Champions League. They came out of the Champions League.
There's the first question on Google is: are Sporting Lisbon any good? They are third. They're fourth in the Portuguese league.
They beat Tottenham in the Champions League, albeit they dropped out the thing. But they're still in the Europa
League. Here's a question. When is Jesus going to come back, do we think?
Apparently he's gone with the squad to Lisbon. Not that he's going to play. I reckon it's going to be after the international break.
Okay, when's the international break then? Is it the
that's
end of the
That's
the
end of March. End of March.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll see him in the...
Easter.
So we won't see him at Fulham. We won't see him for the Leeds game. We should see him for the Palace game, I think.
I mean, what we should be thinking, though, in all of this is that, you know, we played Vieira, we played Reece Nelson, Emil Smith-Rowe. All these players who haven't really been in the side have come into these games. We're still winning. You know, everyone said that as soon as Jesus is injured, that's it for us. We're not going to be able to do. Eddie Nketiah came in and scored however many goals in six games, eight goals in six games or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whatever has been changes we've had to make and the kind of depth of the squad, it's looking good.
I think it's more us. I think it's more us as fans that are more worried about it than other people. Because I have so many customers come in and they go, well, you've won it, haven't you?
It's a long way to go.
We're miles away from it. And they're like, nah, you've won it. Was you up there Saturday? Yeah.
John made a good point, didn't he, last week, where we're sort of, it is the middle of March, and so you're starting to think there's sort of quarterfinals, semi-finals, final, and there's the end of the season is sort of maybe 6-7 games away, or eight games away, and it's still a long way off, you know. We've still got a lot of games to play. So it's a weird feeling.
That's why you've got to enjoy, because we could be sitting there in May or April moping about, you know, a result, and you've got to enjoy the good shit while it's there.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty good this week, wasn't it? I mean, as things go, the performance against Everton after a frustrating first half, where they did sort of take the sting out of us, to then come back and thump them, particularly after losing up there. So it could have got into their heads that here's another game that we're 0-0, possibly going into the second half 0-0 again. And you get into your head, don't you, that the same thing could happen.
And Matt, they were, like I said earlier on, they were so negative. So negative. It was all about just stop Arsenal playing football. Didn't matter what. They had no... And don't get me wrong, for Sean Dyche, they could have got a point at the Emirates. When they're in the battle they're in, that's a fantastic point. But, it's so...
Some great games on over the weekend, though, wasn't there? As well, just in the Premier League, I thought Forest Everton was a great game as well. Obviously, the Man United result, we haven't really talked much about that, but that's just. That's the sort of thing that happens to us, isn't it? The 7-0. But the worry is that things start to click for Liverpool, or do you think that that was just a fluke?
Apparently, Eric Ten Hag's wife wakes him up with a cup of tea in the morning. She said, "Eric, it's 8. And she said, "Don't tell me they've scored again."
I always think of Cafe Hag when I hear his name. Cafe Hag. Oh, smells good. I don't know if you remember that advert.
No.
For Cafe Hag, it was like a really chic sort of coffee from probably like Belgium or Germany or somewhere.
What a fucking random thing.
Cafe Hag. But maybe he'll be opening a cafe soon at this rate.
Is John air fried?
He's all air fried. He's ninja'd himself up.
Oh, I'm done and dusted, mate.
He's MI5 fried.
Fucking hell, John. Did you taste it? What did you air fry?
I air fried some chicken fillets and some. The only reason why I bought cheesy hash browns is because I follow some guy on TikTok who's called the Rap King or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And he made his thing cheesy hash browns, and it's like, that'll do.
He'll go out and buy a whole McDonald's and put it in a tortilla. That's all. Yeah.
Superb.
Superb.
Yeah. Was it nice, John? Yeah.
It was what it was. I was supposed to eat
broccoli,
mushrooms, and I was going to do mushroom, onion, just Chinese curry, but you know, alcohol got in the way, and that was that. You know, to be honest,
so you had a bag of cheesy Watsits. You go, got the family bag. Go upstairs for a wank after this.
So I sat in the pub and went, "Fuck me!" It's about 7:22. I'd better go.
It's about 22 minutes past.
Well, it was about 22 minutes past. So I'd better go.
Marvellous.
So for me, football's been fine.
Fine. What did you do instead of watching the football on Saturday?
I watched Up in the Air, which I tell you what, I thoroughly enjoyed. And the only reason why I watched Up in the Air was because someone posted some clip on TikTok. of when he's telling who's the guy who's probably the most famous actor apart from George Clooney in it.
Okay.
The guy who was in the drumming film.
Jeremy.
No, it's the teacher. He's the teacher, and he's also Jane Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man films.
Jason Bateman? J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he was just telling J.K. Simmons, like, you know, you majored in French cooking, so why don't you go and do that instead of having the job? So, yeah, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just watch that then. But, yeah. Marvelous. And then when I did get a stream for the football, I thought, oh, fucking hell. I think it was 1-0 or 2. I literally turned it on after about 2 minutes, and it was 1-0 down, and I just thought, oh, bollocks. You know what? I'll cheer myself up by watching the film. You know, I am that way inclined. You know, I think it's my weekend. And,
I'll still be 2-0 down.
You know what? I enjoyed my film and I had a good weekend, so I made
pastry, made a pie.
Yeah. I watched the film, then I moved quickly to Spank Bang.
I made my wonderful pie, so that was good.
Yeah, your big pie. You know. John made a chicken and ham pie or something, wasn't it?
Chicken.
Well, that looked nice. Too much
onion, bacon, and cheese.
And then the had too food. Much sweet corn.
The devil's food.
It was just like a whole tin of sweet corn on top of it, was it?
Yeah, but I like sweet corn.
Pebble dash in the toilet the next morning.
No, it was fine. I mean, rather than going out Friday night to the great event they had down the local, I made pastry. But I got to the point where I sieved the flour. And I went, got no cling film. So I had to get dressed. This is quite funny, actually. I had to get dressed, go down to, rather than going to a local co-op for cling film, I thought, I'll go Lidl in summer coats because I want a few other bits, covered in flour. And as I'm bagging up at the till, this bloke who had picked up, I watched him get 6 bottles of beer from the beer aisle, which was right next near the till.
Yeah.
And this girl on the till went, you bought 6 bottles earlier, and these are equivalent to like a pint. So I'm not sure I should serve you.
What, a pint?
Yeah, seriously. I'll tell you what. It wasn't like he was staggering. He was a bit flushed in the face, but that might just be his general look. And because I could be sued. If anything happens, I could be sued. I thought, well, hey, if he dies from drinking, are they going to know who's sold him the fucking beer?
You can only serve, surely.
Yeah, but no, she was a big debate about it. I said in the pub earlier, I went, if that bloke had drunk 6 pints in this pub, actually, if he'd gone with a 24-pack of Stella, they wouldn't refuse to serve him.
Well, I suppose if he'd come back after all 24 cans and bought more.
Yeah, that might be the point.
But he drunk six bottles. Were they like the sort of stubbies?
You don't know. He might have... He literally might have had a barbecue. Probably this time of year, but he might have had a barbecue.
Not like half past 8 on a Friday night, but probably
he might have done.
I mean, was he literally standing outside necking them and throwing them at cars?
No, he got his bag. He walked. Well, I watched him walk right here from the shop because I was driving. He wasn't staggering. Wasn't, you know, it's like when he was in the shop, it's not like he was wobbling and he looked it. You know, he was a bit flushed in the face. He had this big long beard, as some people do, and I went, oh, yeah, best not serve him because he don't look 18. He was about 35, and he went, yeah, it's a stick-on beard, you know, but it astounded me. I thought, when I was a barman, if he had drunk 6 pints and come to me for another pint, or 2, 3, 4, I'd still, the state he was in, I would have still served him. He wasn't wobbling, he didn't drop anything, or, I could be fined 5,000 quid. I thought, you know what?
Unfortunately,
people walk around supermarkets in all sorts of states, don't they?
I'm
not going to tell you what I drank on the Droke? What, I'm drunk?
On the Saturday. Train
going back from Charing Cross to Wadhurst. But I reckon it was a world record.
Bottle of Mets.
It was close to it, John.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all needed a drink. I needed a drink straight away after that goal.
Nothing can beat what my mate, I think a few of you met Curtis. Nothing beat what Curtis said, where he said it was during lockdown, he was working, he got to Stratford, and there was two, he said, other Polish guys with a bottle of water squirting hand sanitizer into the water because it's like 70-80% proof alcohol, shaking it and drinking it.
No, I wasn't quite that bad.
You know, that's just a bit nuts.
I think your liver could be fucked doing that.
Yeah.
Or, just, I mean, at least your breath's going to be fresh, I suppose.
And bubbly.
To get taken down by the police for having rabies in the middle of Waterloo.
Yeah.
Well, so there you go. There's
So what was your drinking, Stuart, on the way back from
rundown. There's a fantastic rundown of alcoholism in
I'd like to know what Stuart was drinking on the train back.
Oh, right, okay, let's have it, Stuart.
I'm not.
Is it Stella? Is it Cantor?
No.
Was it?
I'm not going to say it on here. I'll say it off air. Not saying on here.
You can all speculate, listeners. Do send your answers in.
Yeah.
So I've got a quiz for us this week, but I've changed the name from Jukebox Quiz to something new, which I'm going to try. This is Topic of the Pops.
Oh, God.
Right, so I don't know.
Is it about topics? You, John?
So, topics have been banned. Topics have been retired. You can't buy them no more.
Topics, have they?
Yeah. Last year, I think it was.
You are kidding me. Well, we need to start a campaign. Anyway, these are different types of topic. They're not a nougat peanut combination.
Hazelnut,
was it? These are 1,000 questions from... No, we're not going to ask them all. From Cheatwell, Top Sport, Top Trivia. But what I like about them is they're 10 questions with a topic for each one. So I've got a pack of cards here. I can shuffle them and I can give you a choice each of 3 different topics. You choose one, ask you the questions on that. We see who wins. What do you reckon?
Well, I went first last week, so John and...
What song would you like to play, Stuart, if you win?
I can't mention names, but there is someone I know who's a Tottenham fan and he's just rolled his 22-plate Range Rover. So I said, which rolled one of you then? Rolled it, proper, written it off. So I walked in and he was obviously looking for me for concern. I went, which one are you, Bo or Luke Duke? And I started playing the Dukes of Hazzard theme in the pub earlier. So he was like, you're such a piss-taking bastard. So, the good old boys.
The good old boys.
The Dukes of Hazzard. By the Hazzard County boys.
Is it by the Hazzard, is that what they're called? The Hazzard County boys?
I think so. I mean, Matt, if you can find the original theme tune, then do it.
I'll go for that, And what about you, John? Do you want to pick a theme tune?
Sing the theme tune. Actually, that could be the one. Well, I'm going to see Suede on Friday.
Okay.
So, Rock City. So, I was thinking about one of them. And then, for some reason, Disco 2000 by Pulp pops in my head.
Brilliant.
Oh, but that's then, a number.
But then it also comes to the point where... but then it also comes to the point where Stuart kept saying, enjoy yourself. So I think it should be the Specials. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Okay. Right. There you go. So, So who's going first? John?
Yes.
So I'm going to do this a bit like tarot cards. I'm going to put 4 different topics out and you've got to pick one and go with that. Okay. Yeah. So 1, 2,
Three earlier. That's four.
Four. Oh, right, yeah. Well, I'll do four. So give you
he's trying to get it back on the ones he's texted you the fucking answers to.
I don't start all that
right,
shit.
Right, so the topics for you, John, to choose from. One of these topics, either motorsport, boxing, football, or sporting trophies.
I will go boxing just on the off chance I might know something.
Okay, boxing. Your 10 questions on boxing.
Oh, 10 questions?
Yeah, wow. Start now. Number one, which heavyweight champion was known as the real deal?
Evander Holyfield.
Correct. Which boxer represented Great Britain at the 2012 Olympics, winning gold at the super heavyweight event?
It's Anthony Joshua.
Correct. Who ended Prince Nassim Hamed's undefeated run as world featherweight champion in 2001?
Oh, God, it's the Mexican guy, and I can't remember. Oh, it's going to bug the shit out of me. I can't remember his name. Marco Antonio Barrera.
Oh, bloody hell, correct. Question number four. What nation did Lennox Lewis represent when he won the Olympic gold medal?
Canada.
Correct. What question five? When Deontay Wilder fought Tyson Fury in the WBC World Heavyweight 2019 rematch, in which round did Fury win the fight?
For some reason, I think it's seven.
Correct. Question number six: which British boxer jumped two weight divisions in 2016 to fight middleweight champion Saul Alvarez, only to be knocked out in round six?
Settler made him a welterweight. I'm gonna have a bash at. So Alvarez, I'm going to. It wasn't Ricky Hatton, but no, it wouldn't be that. I don't know. I don't know. No idea.
It's Amir Khan.
Of course it was.
Number seven. Which British boxer retired in February 2009 with an undefeated record and as reigning world champion?
Joe Calzaghe.
Correct. How old was Mike Tyson when he became the youngest ever world champion?
I think it was, I still think he was something like 21.
He was 20.
Or was he 20 and so many 270 days or something like that or whatever.
Okay. Well, which boxer had the nickname Smoking Joe?
Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
And which African country did the Rumble in the Jungle take place?
Zaire.
Correct. That's 8 out of 10. That's pretty
fact,
good going.
Well, you can fuck that off.
I'll tell you what, mate. The fact of the matter is, though, Matt.
Cheating bastard.
As you've just found out.
Cheating bastard.
John, you should do a boxing podcast.
Boxing's my thing. It's not. Literally is my thing, boxing.
The gloves are off with John Rubin.
I know fuck about football. It's all boxing.
Right. Okay. Let me shuffle the deck, and Stuart, you have got to pick from football, Summer Olympics.
10 out of 10.
Sorry?
Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
Footballing nicknames or London 2012?
Much to my bad idea here. Football nicknames.
Football nicknames. Okay, your 10.
I think that'll be a good one, to be honest, mate. Go on.
Your 10 questions on footballing nicknames are, number one, which football manager is known as the special one?
Jose Mourinho.
Correct. Number two, which football club do you associate with the nickname the Peacocks?
The Peacocks.
No fucking idea. I didn't know this at all.
See, this is this is typical Matt and Jonathan going up in the afternoon, listeners.
It's definitely not.
I've no idea, Matt.
John, any idea for Peacocks?
Is it an English club?
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be.
Absolutely.
I've got no idea. It's Leeds United.
Fuck off.
Oh, shit. Fuck
off. I thought they... I don't know. Anyway.
They haven't really got a name, have they?
You're stitching me up.
Question three. Which footballer is commonly known by his nickname Chicharito, which he wears on his shirt?
Well, it's the black folk from Man United.
Yeah.
Chicharito, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, but what's his real name?
Well, that's his fucking name. That's what was on his shirt.
No, but it means little P, doesn't it? This is a nickname.
I mean, it's actually the answer, but Stuart.
Oh, well, okay. I've got that one wrong.
Okay. Question four.
It's Hernandez, isn't it?
Yeah, Javier Hernandez is the answer. Yeah. Which football club is nicknamed the Canaries?
Well, that's Norwich.
Correct. Which Argentine football is known as La Pugla? The Flea.
No idea.
The Flea.
No idea. No idea.
Lionel Messi.
Okay.
Which English club is nicknamed the Seagulls?
Brighton.
And what is the nickname of Australian National Socceroos? Correct. The Owls is the nickname of which English league club?
Sheffield Wednesday.
The FNB Stadium in Johannesburg is what nickname?
Fucking naughty bastards.
Fucking naughty bastards. I'll give you that one. It's Soccer City. Which club's nickname is the Potters after the local pottery industry?
Stoke.
Well, there you go. So 7 out of 10 there for John, for Stuart, and John's won. Well, there you go.
Well done, John.
I'm disappointed. I should have got 10 out of 10, to be honest. I'm quite upset.
Well,
you should have done,
after I gave you those answers. I WhatsApped you all the answers. No, I did not. In fact, I was struggling to get the fucking packet open of these cards. It was like wrapped in really thick plastic. Ended up having to get a knife and cut it. So, you know, you can't get any fairer than that. I couldn't even get into the bleeding cards.
And I think, John's knowledge, it should be a boxing podcast.
Yeah, the gloves are off with John Rubin or something like that. Seconds out.
Shoes down.
So it's later than you think. Well, actually, it's only 8:45 in the evening, but let's play it anyway. It's later than you think.
It's good to be wise when you're young, 'cause you can only be young but for once. Enjoy yourself and have lots of fun. So go down with my brother, never done. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
Nashville. Here we go.
There you go. Very sad. Did we talk about Terry Hall?
No, it was very sad. Terry
very
Hall.
Sad
no,
him dying. But we...
It's better to talk about Terry Hall than Stuart.
Well, talking of people called Stuart, or not called Stuart, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Eddie Izzard has changed his name to Susan. But we thought it might be Stuart. If he had changed his name to Stuart, it would have been hilarious, but he's changed his name to Susie.
He's not as funny as me, though.
He's not as funny as you. He's got bigger tits than you.
Is he?
Yeah. You look
Are
it
you
up.
Sure?
Yeah. Or maybe not.
Oh, has he had proper stuff done?
Yeah, he's had proper stuff done.
Oh, okay.
So, let's talk about Fulham and Sporting Lisbon. So, how confident are we about these games? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think Fulham are what?
Sporting Lisbon, to be honest, I'm not bothered. I'm not worried about Sporting Lisbon.
No, I don't think anybody is, are we? We really hate Thursday night football, for one thing.
Yeah.
We don't think this is our best route to the Champions League, because before we might be in seventh or eighth, and we were thinking this is our big chance to get back into the Champions
Who's
League
fault?
By winning
Spurs.
The trophy.
Spurs are fourth, aren't they? So we're 18 points ahead.
Yeah.
So we basically got to lose six games.
Yeah.
And we should have a better goal difference. So in theory, we've got to lose six games and get battered.
I mean, there's nothing like a European adventure, but we've had plenty of those, and they've ended in weird finals in Azerbaijan. That's getting battered. We don't need that, do we?
We might need this. What we need is all the so-called understudies to step up and go and play.
Yeah.
That's what we need. And if we don't, then Arteta can remind them of, well, you're not quite, that's why you're not fucking playing.
Yeah. And if they do, I mean? Then it might give him a few selection headaches for Sunday.
Exactly.
And
I think that's what he's got to do.
The problem is with this game on Thursday is Saka just loves playing every single game. Mm. And he kind of thinks, please don't play him on Thursday. Put Smith Rowe in or
We're not sure about
like
Trossard, Nketiah. We're probably a little bit rattly bare bones. Yeah. It's just, look, we put a team out there that is compliant with everything that UEFA says we need to do.
But like we have
go
a goalkeeper,
for
example.
We work really hard. No, but we work really hard.
Yeah.
We try and get something out of the game. If we go out there and we lose 1-0 or 0-0 or whatever, then we'll bring it back to the Emirates and see where we are after the Fulham game.
Nobody wants the momentum to get sort of halted by losing.
No, but we were the better team. We were the better team at Man City in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
We were the better team in that game and we lost 1-0. They're games in the season that, like I say, we've spoken so much about the Bournemouth game. There are other games in the season that mean even more. So you're not going to know, are you? You know, we could put every eggshell in one basket and not win the league and go out of the Europa League. But I don't think the squad yet is big enough. It's like,
it's certainly not big enough yet. Definitely, we're the City's bloody bench.
Yeah. But for me, I've always wanted, I think you came to me one night when I was playing pool. And I was outside the back of the thing and Nick Rowe was on here as well.
Yeah.
And I just turned around and I said, how the fuck can we want to win the Champions League when we can't even win our own league?
Yeah.
So for me, it's got to be a progression. But yeah, we're miles off. We're not miles off winning the Premier League, but we're miles off probably winning the Champions League. I'm watching the Chelsea Dortmund game, and they're good. They're good in possession, Dortmund, and it's just a growing up process, isn't it? You're going back to what you used to know. Here we go. Chelsea might score it. Oh, good save. But
I've got Chelsea to win this 2-0, 2-1, I think.
Oh, they've just scored. They've just scored. John, well, you got your first one, mate. Yeah. Oh, no, he's offside. But for me, it was like, how can we try and win? It was almost, and listen, I've read his book, and I think he was a fantastic man. But Arsene Wenger, it was all about the champions. He couldn't compete on this level. He did what he did. And he did it as best as he could.
Obviously, but, best chance, 2004.
Yeah.
Nobody got to the final. Yeah, with
one of the best 2006, teams. When we was in the final. We should have won the final.
That's true. You're thinking, though, the old 2004, the Invincibles, and...
2006, we was robbed. What the referee should have done was give a penalty.
Yeah, double jeopardy.
Put the keeper.
It was outside the area, though, John.
Well, whichever way. I'm sure it was inside the area, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was outside the area. That's why he had to send him off. Otherwise, he would have just given the penalty because we went 1-0 up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's all that. But what you need to do is you've got to be competing at the top of your own country's, you know.
However, if you look at the last winners, English winners of the Champions League, how many won the league the year before? And for that answer, it's hardly any of them.
No, I get that. I get that.
It's hard to do it all, isn't it?
Let's just reel ourselves in. If we had done a podcast last summer, we did, but. Have we done a podcast and said to each other, seriously, would you ever anywhere near where we are?
No way.
Which is why there's not a single Arsenal fan that believes.
No.
You know, apart from the ones in other countries. There's not a single one that believes we're going to win the league.
No, but this isn't because of... It's just... You're real to what's going on.
If you're a City fan and we win the league, you've got to be like when we gave Man United Van Persie. It's like they are directly accountable for their own downfall in that they've trained a coach, they've given us two top players who have really made a difference. And, you know, they've added a winner's mentality to our squad this year. Apart from the fact that we've got probably the greatest talent, you know, the greatest talent that England has produced in Saka for a long time.
Without a doubt,
maybe him and Foden you could probably compare. But for me, I think Saka is above Foden.
I mean, maybe if you said this back in August, Matt, I think people might say, yeah, maybe not. But I think, if you look over this season, there's no doubt about it.
You've taken a player that, like Xhaka, and reformed him into the absolutely most solid midfielder you can.
I still think Partey has been absolute key.
You've improved. You know, he's had that extra year in England now to really get himself into the swing of the Premier League. And Odegaard is a revelation. We've absolutely stolen him from Real Madrid.
I was going to say, I don't think we've stolen him.
No,
I think he was always that player.
Yeah,
he was always that player. But he's now found a home, isn't he? He's found a home, and he's so. He's just so at ease.
He's settled, though, Stu. It's what I said to a few people. I said Odegaard was loaned out all over Europe, you know, touted as like the greatest teenager the world had ever seen, and was just bounced around here and there. Then as soon as he come to us, we went, we want you. And that's it. He's like, right, finally, I've got a proper place. I'm playing football. You know, this is it. You know, I'm going to get in the team. But have Real Madrid couldn't see what that bloke could have done. I don't know.
Have a look at, I'm sure, and I know he's a Chelsea fan, as you said earlier, about Paul Merson. But Paul Merson says, when we signed Martin Ødegaard full term, you know, like you say, we had him on loan, then we signed him full term. And Paul Merson is going, well, they're all, it probably was pre-season this season.
Yeah.
Pre-season this season. And he's not laughing about it, but he's going, Martin Ødegaard, why would you spend that money? Mate, the boy's worth an absolute fortune. Yeah. And as for Saka, I'm watching.
Can he sign his new contract now?
Oh, they've scored. Sorry.
Who's scored now?
Saka, I'm sure.
Chelsea has just scored.
Yeah, I'm sure Saka's put pen to paper, and that's what I've
No, he hasn't.
Read
done
on
it.
Everything.
It's not official. It's not official. I think he'll do it. I think he'll do it. I think, again, a lot's about, a lot, to be honest, is about the fact that we're going to be challenging. We're going to be, you know, fighting for titles and fighting for cups. And, you know, we've also said 5 minutes ago, if we have to drop this cup for that one, we're a growing side. We're not.
Arteta would be the youngest Premier League manager to win the title. Our squad is probably the lowest average.
Yeah, it's the youngest squad ever.
If we do. And, you know, we are so ahead of schedule in that regard.
Yeah.
That, you know, it will be a challenge to keep these players together. I guess as long as the talent is coming through regularly through this squad, then there's no reason to really worry. When you think of, like, our centre-back pairings of even the last 3 or 4 years, you've got, you know, players who had always got a little ricket in them, didn't quite get on as a pair, and now we just do not talk about Gabriel and Saliba, really, because they're so solid.
Yeah, ultimately, they just get on with it.
They just want. You've got Ben White, and he is absolutely sensational. Probably Tomiyasu and Kieran Tierney were, you know, they certainly play their part, but we're moving up through gears in a way. Like, there are things we could not do without Kieran Tierney. We wanted him to be captain. We thought he was the driving force behind us, but things have happened, you know.
How we've improved the squad, though.
Mm.
That's how we've improved the squad. It's not like you shove two fingers up to either of them players.
No.
But when they're playing, they're not as good as the players that are playing ahead of them.
Yeah, when you think we had
Tomiyasu and Tierney before we had Ben White and before we had Zinchenko. So, and Arteta's improved that squad every single time.
Yeah.
You know, that's the nice thing, I think, about what he's doing. You know, even to a point, lots of people have said stuff about Jorginho, and I'm like, I don't think that's a shit signing. And Trossard hasn't been a shit signing.
No, I mean, I think we've added quality when we're so used to maybe panic buying in that situation.
But, they weren't massive money.
Yeah, but Jorginho had better stats than Partey did in the so many games, and up until we bought, was it like 16 games, 17 games? Jorginho's stats, far better than Partey's stats. And Partey's been brilliant for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking about centre backs and, you know, right back to, like, when we got Thomas Vermaelen, he seemed like a great player, but he was so injury prone. Then you had your David Luiz's, Socrates, your Mustafis.
Who's the dirty German? The dirty German with the fake beard and tits. What was his name?
Mustafi.
Yeah.
Mustafi.
Yeah, I hated him.
Gabriel Paulista. You know, you can keep going. But these players, they didn't quite gel. They didn't quite. Even David Luiz, who had a bit of personality about him, you knew he had a bit of a ricket in him at some point, and that he would let us down. Whereas I just don't see that in our team anymore. And I still get, nervous for every game.
I think we might be getting carried away. Yeah, but at the same time, it's a team that's going to compete every single week. You're going to lose games, you're going to draw games, but it is a team now and a squad that will compete with anybody.
Okay, let's make some predictions for the next game. So, Sporting Lisbon, John.
We're home or away?
Away.
I will say we will lose 2-1.
Stuart?
I'm going to go 0-0.
Okay, I was going to say 1-1 because I think that. Do they still count away goals in?
I'm not sure.
It's so long since we've been in that position. Anyway, so what about Sunday? Just to remind listeners that it's 5:45 on Thursday. So get yourself home from, get down the pub early because it's on early. So Sunday is 2:00. What do you reckon?
I just want 3 points. I'll go 1-0.
Okay,
I'll
John.
I'll go 1-0.
2-2.
Ooh. I mean, I was thinking maybe it might be a draw. Got City playing Crystal Palace away the night before.
Leno is going to play. You know what? I mean, I was gutted when we got. I know we got Ramsdale, but Leno to me was one of the best shot stoppers we ever had. And I love Leno. And I think he's going to play an absolute blinder. And Willian is going to equalise in the last 5 minutes with an absolute weldy.
Yeah, one of those Willian goals he used to score.
Oh, well, it's going to make a nice chat next week, then.
Yeah, bloody hell. So I'm going to say 3-0 then. It's Fulham. Come on, it's Fulham. We love going there. The little pitch there. It's, we knock it around. It's like a carpet. We love playing there. Come on. We battered them the last time we went there.
Was you on the boat trip that we went on?
No, I was not on that, regretfully.
I remember that.
Who
was it? Me?
Kerry Groves was on the boat, wasn't he, or something?
Yeah, me, Mark Lee, Ruby, Bill.
Jarvis.
Nick Rowe, I think. I don't know if Jarvis was on it, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
No, I don't think she was. I don't know Ruby Boy was. Jules. No, but it was nuts. Sock. No, I don't know who was Sock. We met Sock in the pub after.
Boris?
I can't remember who was on the boat. But I know it was definitely me, Bill, Mark, Lee, Nick, Ruby. They're the ones I remember being on
Boris
the boat.
Boris and his brother.
Must have got there. No, James wasn't there.
Okay, well, there we go. I'll tell you, so, Stuart.
What's my song?
Yes, Stuart, to get this song played, you've just got to answer this question.
Okay.
Which football club do you associate with the name The Peacocks?
Oh, yeah. It's fuck off.
Have you forgotten already?
Yeah.
Leeds.
Oh, yeah. Leeds.
Because nobody calls them the Peacocks.
Why don't you just ask him which team is known as the Gunners and just to end it off a nice easy one?
Well, I'll tell you what the Gunners are. They're good old boys. And this is Bo, Luke, Boss Hog, Daisy. Enos.
Sheriff Ruskell, Pete Coltrane.
Yeah, and Enos. It sounds a bit like penis. So everybody, you can just think back to when you're eating fish paste sandwiches around your grandma's house as a child watching The Dukes of Hazzard with this classic. See you next week.
Come on, you Gunners.
Come on, you Gunners. Up the arse. We've got Super Mick on Twitter.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves. Yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday
the mountain might get up, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. My face on TV.